Come on, who's excited to be here Sunday morning? He is risen. I don't know what background you come from, but there's this tradition that people say when the pastor says he is risen, we say he is risen indeed. He is risen, and we are grateful that he has risen. We're so glad you came out and joined with us this Easter. If this is your first time, I know it can be nerve-wracking coming out. We're glad you're here. We're so glad. Maybe you're like, I haven't been in church in so long. You don't know me. Hey, I don't. Jesus does, and he's glad you're here too. We're glad that you're here. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for bringing them. I'm glad that you guys joined us this morning, and there's churches all over the world who are now celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, yeah, it's Easter, and as Keith Taylor would tell me, it's Happy Resurrection Day, because it is. It is. Easter's great. We love the bunny, but we love Jesus more. The bunny, ooh, I love. Only church kids will get that one. That's why half you laugh. Hey, we're going to be in Mark 16 in the Easter story. It's actually, this is Mary and both Marys and Salome heading to the tomb. Jesus has died on Friday. He said he would be back, and sure enough, he is. But this is the story of the resurrection. After he died, he's in the grave. Saturday was a long Saturday. It was dark. Jesus was gone. All their dreams and hopes were gone. And yet, they go to the tomb, and this is what takes place in Mark 16. Saturday evening, when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went out and purchased burial spices so they could anoint Jesus' body. Very early on Sunday morning, just at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they were asking each other, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked. But the angel said, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. I love this. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. Hold up. I have to say this. I said it last night. I said it again. Did you see that? They said, now go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Isn't it weird how they put that in there? Can I tell you why they put that in there real fast? This like caveat. This is free for you. Peter was the one who denied Christ three times on the cross. He walked with Jesus, but when he went to the cross, he denied Christ three times. And Jesus just wanted to let him know in his sin and shame, even though you denied me, my grace is still for you. Include Peter. Maybe you came here today and you've been denying Christ. He says, hey, go tell Peter. There's still hope for him. I'm grateful for a God who doesn't condemn us. Man, I wish I'd read that last series. And then it goes on to say this, the women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they too were frightened. They were too frightened. Lord, we just pray right now for Easter morning. We thank you, Lord, that this day, Lord, it should be every day. Lord, you have risen. You are alive. Lord, we should live our lives as you are alive, not dead. I thank you for a church that's alive. I love these people. I thank you for our volunteers and our squad members. I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you prepare our hearts for this word. We did not come, Father God, just to get points on the board. We came to hear the story of Jesus, and maybe we could respond, Lord. Every time the word is open, it changes us, no matter if we've been in church our whole life or this is our first time. Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for your love that put Jesus on the cross. But thank you that it didn't end there, and now we get to celebrate the resurrection today. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you take a seat, find a few people and give them the title of my message. Say, what were you expecting? Come on, find a couple people. Say, what were you expecting? What were you expecting? I'm really excited about preaching this. I've already had practice. I got to come out here last night, and we saw some people respond to Christ last night as well. And so God's already been getting to work. We started partying last night, and we're just continuing on right now and at 11. And so I got some practice. Yeah, you can give it up for people who found Christ. That's amazing. And as you're doing that, can we give it up for our worship team and our AV team and our parking lot team and our greeters and our kids directors and just everyone who put in effort? I mean, we had people painting the stage this week just so that we could be prepared as best, because we believe in excellence. We really do. And so I'm excited about preaching this message. And so we see the story of the resurrection, and I want to jump into that for a second, but I want to talk to you about something that happened to me recently, but you have to promise me that you will not judge me. One person's like, never. You are a liar. No, I'm just kidding. Don't judge me, right? We're good? Scout's honor? Okay. I'm going to get judged so hard. So recently, I get a lot of stress knots in my back, like a lot of them. Like, it's really not good. I don't know why. I'm working on the stress thing. I'm not as stressed as I used to be, thank God, but I'm not where I want to be yet. And so with that, I have some pastors who speak into my life. And so I would talk to them last year about Easter. And I said, you know what, Easter, we just go gung-ho. And right after Easter, I take some time off because I'm exhausted and I'm tired. And one of the pastors said, you know what, instead of running to the roar to Easter, why don't you just take a break before Easter and get some rest so that you're ready for Easter and not giving your scraps on Easter? And I was like, I don't like when you challenge me like that, but that makes a lot of sense. So literally, me and my wife are talking. She goes, you should get a massage. Don't judge me. I like massages. I get them once or twice a year because, you know, they're pretty expensive. So I have to, it's like a budget. But so every time I got a massage, I always got this thing called a relaxation massage. So I decided that I was going to get a massage this week. And so I've always got a relaxation massage. It's like, feels good. It just kind of calms the stress. And so I called, made an appointment, and got everything booked. And then I showed up. And as I showed up, I met the massage therapist. And I was like, hey, my name is Sean. And she's like, come on back. She looked at her thing. She goes, looks like we got a 60-minute massage, deep tissue. And I was like, well, sounds fun. Yep, that's right. I mean, I was just like, you know what? Maybe this was God. Like, this is before Easter. He just had a moment where he's like, I misheard it on purpose. I really need a deep tissue instead of a relaxation. So I remember going in there, and the massage was going on, and then she gets to my shoulders and back, where my stress knots are. And in this moment, she's telling me that she goes, if the pressure ever gets too hard, just tell me to calm it down a little bit. I'm like, okay, gotcha. And sure enough, I'm laying there, and then all of a sudden, I hear her go, oh, wow, you got a lot of knots. In comes the elbow. I've had relaxation like, ooh, yep, you got some knots. Not, you got some knots. Let me go Kevin Nash, WWE wrestling on your back. I was like, where are the turnbuckles at, lady? And then, like, she, like, put her elbow down. I just feel her go, mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And then, mm-hmm. I'm like, how many times are you going to, mm-hmm? For a total of 4 times, and I got some relief. And then she was back at it again. Like, it's like, is that your elbow? Like, what is going on? Are you standing up there? Like, what's going on? I don't know. I've never had a deep tissue. But in that moment, I realized I was so thankful that my face was down in the pillow. Because I was like, Sean, don't act tough. Act tough. And you better believe, like, Sean, just tell her that the pressure is too tough. I'm a man. If anything, I'd be like, hey, give it more pressure. I just remember, I'm like, this is not what I was expecting. I came for a relaxation massage. I remember 2 days later, I was like, am I supposed to be sore from a massage? Now, don't get me wrong. It worked a lot. It helped me a lot. I was like, actually, this is amazing. But during it, I was like, I was not expecting it. I just came for relaxation. Take some time before Easter, they said. Go get a massage, they said. Get beat up by your massage therapist. It's cool. And I don't know about you, but have you ever, like, gone to something expecting one thing, and when you get there, it's something completely different? Have you ever had those moments, like, you were expecting to have kids who would listen to you, and then your kids are the ones who stay up all night for 3 years straight? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever had a moment where you're expecting one thing, and you came, and you expected something else? You see, I was not prepared for that. I was not prepared. If I would have come prepared, I would have been like, hey, listen, I just want a relaxation, or I would have, like, taken some Vicodin. No, I wouldn't have. Before I showed up, like, just less pain, like, I could still feel it, but because my nerves are numb, like, dig all you want, you know? Like, guys, don't judge me. Here we go. I guess what I'm trying to say is that sometimes when it comes to expectation, we can tell what we're expecting through our preparation. We can always tell what we're expecting through our preparation. I can tell right now that people are expecting boys. Why? Because they're painting their rooms a boy maybe color with some different artifacts in there that look like it's male dominated. And so it's like, oh, you must be expecting a boy. I remember we thought we were going to have a boy, and we had boys' clothes, and people gave us stuff because we thought we heard from God. But so many people know that sometimes we mess up, and it was a Taco Bell from last night. And sure enough, Avery came. And by the clothes we had, you would think we were expecting a boy, but we were actually expecting a girl. You see, through your preparation, you can tell what you're expecting. That's why you saw people in the parking lot, the kids, volunteers, and everyone here. Why? Because we were expecting you, and we were prepared for you, and because we're prepared for you, you can sit and listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. When your preparation reveals your expectation. When you look at the story, I realize that the women came prepared, but their preparation revealed their expectation. Actually, if you look at the story, it said they came with burial spices, which means the ladies thought they were coming to a funeral ceremony when they were actually coming to a resurrection ceremony. They were expecting to see a dead body when actually the body was risen. If you see that, they came with burial spices. How is the tomb going to roll away? Their preparation revealed what they were expecting. But thank God that even when our expectations are low, he still supersedes them. He still goes greater or beyond. We thought he was dead, but he is alive. I thought I would never get through this, but he brought me through it. You see, our preparation reveals our expectations. So I want to talk a little bit about the Easter story in this idea of being prepared and what we're expecting. What were you expecting? The first thing I want to talk about based on their preparation is this. Number one, don't let tradition prevent you from liberation. Don't let tradition prevent you from liberation. That word liberation means freedom. But because I'm a preacher and everything has to rhyme, I said liberation. That's the only reason why it's there. I'm not smarter than you. I just thought what would rhyme. Liberation means freedom. Don't let the tradition prevent you from liberation. You see, it says in scripture that Mary, and Salome were going to the tomb, and it said before they went Saturday night, they purchased burial spices. So it's crazy because Jesus was purchasing their freedom, and they were purchasing burial spices. He was getting ready to take care of sin and death once and for all, and they were going to mourn his death, even though he told them he would rise again. And so their preparation revealed what they were expecting. And what happens in this time is in this culture, people would actually buy spices and embalm the bodies in the tomb so when the body decomposed, that it wouldn't smell bad. Which means that they didn't just realize that Jesus was going to be there for 3 days. They thought he was going to be there forever. That was their expectation. And so they came with burial spices. That was a tradition. That was the custom of that time. It was a custom to go and do this. And how many times do we allow traditions and customs to get in the way of other people's freedoms and maybe even ours ourselves? Because this is how it's always been. This is what's been passed down to me. The word tradition means customs and beliefs passed down from generation to generation. Passed down from generation. Some of us have traditions. We all have traditions. I'm not here to bash traditions right now, but I will say this, that when traditions take more precedent in our lives than what God does, then we have a problem. And in tradition, what happened was they came with burial spices, but when they got there, Jesus purchased their freedom, liberation. And we get stuck behind the customs, forgetting that God wants to do something bigger. And maybe you're here because of tradition today. No one told me, I wasn't expecting this, that when you get married, that the traditions you used to have, you're going to have to kill them. Too violent? That's what it felt like. Ah! Because I realized that my wife, who's from North Carolina, has completely different customs than a northern boy who lives in Illinois. I mean complete. Like, they call me Yankee. And I always go, we won. Like, right? Like, I was just... So they have customs, and I had customs. We got married, and so Christmas would roll around, Easter would roll around, different holidays roll around. We even just cooking a meal, right? We'd be like, well, this is how we do it. And I'm like, not in this house, we don't do it. And I realized in that moment, the words, yes, dear, they became more real to me than ever before. Have you noticed this, that when you get two people and traditions together, it's like, I want my tradition, I want yours, and it's this thing called compromise. Or really, sometimes, men, it's just, I'll kill mine, right? Like, it's just... Let's just be honest, I'm here to serve you. And I look at this and I realize that if we wanted our marriage to thrive, I had to let some traditions die. If I wanted some marriages to thrive, we, on both sides, had to let some traditions die. And if we look at church today, I realize that's the same here, that if we want the church to continue to thrive for the kingdom of God, sometimes we have to let traditions die. And the thing is we always look back 20 years from now. Yeah, we go to a different place. We paint the walls black now, and the music's loud, and we have people who don't come in because of that. And that's fine. There's other churches and stuff. But we're going to do that because we break customs and traditions for the sake of liberation and freedom. And thank God that we broke traditions, because every time tradition is broke, freedom comes in. And we see that everywhere we go. And so don't let tradition get in the way of liberation. But I look at the church and I realize that in this time, in this place, that if we don't let traditions and customs die, then we will not thrive and we will not see liberation. And it's like, okay, Sean, what about Jesus? Jesus was one of the biggest he confronted tradition all the time. I'm going to show you right now with three different stories that Jesus completely pushed against tradition. Now, listen, I'm not saying tradition's all bad. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that there's not things that we do in a church that comes from Scripture that is traditional because it's in Scripture. I'm not saying that. But sometimes, especially in this day and age, Pharisees would take what God said and they would make it even heavier so people could even operate by it. And in this time, Jesus always confronted those. There's a scripture in Mark 3 where actually he goes and he sees this man who is hiding his hand because he has a deformed hand. And Jesus walks up to him and he says, stretch out your hand. And have you noticed that sometimes the most awkward thing and the most humiliating thing, the thing that you're hiding, is the thing that God wants to heal? And if you're just willing to stretch it out, he can. If you can just expose it, even though it may look weird and you don't like looking at it, if you can just expose that thing, Jesus can heal that thing. That's how he works. And he said, show me your hand. And he stretched it out. And he looks around, he sees the Pharisees judging him. He looks around, he realizes it's on the Sabbath. See, in this time, you couldn't work on the Sabbath. Now, the Sabbath is a good thing. We even take time with our family. You should take time to rest. We need to rest. But when you take the Sabbath and you put it in front of people's freedom, Jesus was not cool with that. When you let law supersede someone else finding Christ, Jesus is not cool with that. So he came in, and he says, I know it's the Sabbath. And in this time, Pharisees would literally weigh objects to see if someone lifted that object, would it be considered working on the Sabbath? Could you imagine, like, you lift up your remote control and they're like, you're working. It's the Sabbath. That's how intense it was. And so he looks around and says, what's preventing me from healing this man? Is the Sabbath more important than this person finding Christ and finding freedom? And he heals his deformed hand. He pushes against the tradition. He pushes against the customs. And that guy leaves healed. Because when you break tradition, liberation comes. And then actually in Scripture, Jesus was a Jew. And he meets with this woman at the well, a Samaritan woman at that. In this culture, men were not supposed to be talking with women. And on top of that, she was a Samaritan, so Jews were not supposed to be connected with Samaritans of any sort. They were supposed to stay away from them. That was the custom. That was the tradition that was passed down to them. But Jesus shows up at the well and says, lady, what's up? What are you looking for? Where's your husband at? She goes, I don't have a husband. He goes, that's right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're with right now isn't the one. You're not even married to him. Ouch, Jesus. And she goes, how'd you know that? Because he didn't care about her situation. He was after the heart. He wanted her to find freedom. It wasn't about how many husbands she was with. She just wanted him to find out that you can find security in Christ. I'm the only man you need. And he broke tradition. And it says that she responded and said, this man knew everything about me. I chose to believe in him. And she started going through a revival in her town, telling everybody about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus broke some customs. He broke some traditions. And when he did, liberation happened. Church, if we want to see people set free, there's some traditions in our life that were passed down through generation and generation that we need to say, this is not as important as someone finding Christ. We got to break this thing and we got to pull this thing down. He did it with the tax collectors. He did it with the Pharisees said you shouldn't be having parties with those people, but thank God he did because he sat down with a tax collector. We don't know what happened, but his name was Zacchaeus. And all the money he cheated people with, just having dinner with Jesus, he left throwing it all back to the poor, giving it back to the people because Jesus sat down with a sinner. If Jesus sat down with that sinner, what can he do in our life too? He breaks customs. Oh, he got made fun of. Oh, I love when people come and say, Sean, you went there? I'm like, yeah. But let me tell you about this. So many people are more focused on the mat people are carrying. In Scripture, Jesus would heal people who were laying on mats. And they would pick up their mat and walk. And the Pharisee would say, why are you picking up your mat? Did you not notice that this dude who's been laying here for 30 years is walking? The first thing you notice is the mat. How many times do we do that? We see people who come to church, and you don't know what they've been through, but you go right after, hey, where you at right now? If you would saw what they came from and where they are today, you wouldn't be focused on the mat. You'd be focused on, he broke customs. I'm spitting everywhere. I'm so excited about this message. You see that? And I think about the church, and I think about at the time, there was a time and place where there was black church and there was white churches. Segregation started in the church. Black church. white church because we allowed the customs of our ancestors to filter down through, and we allowed that tradition in the church. But thank God that we broke that custom. And in our church, black, white, Latino, Mexican, whatever it is, he broke that custom, and people are finding freedom in Jesus Christ because we're not here. Listen, just because your father may have been a racist doesn't mean that you have to be too. Jesus came to break that. So when our traditions don't line ourselves up to God's word, we have got to break that. There was this man named John Wesley. I love this story. John Wesley was kicked out of the church because he was preaching a grace that's only saved through Jesus Christ, a faith. Meaning, he was preaching that you don't have to work hard to get saved. You just have to receive the gift of Jesus Christ. And they threw him out of the church because they realized that if they could get people to work hard, they could manipulate them. John Wesley had a revelation and said, no, it's by faith that we are saved. And they kicked him out of the church. And so while he was out there, someone said, you should start preaching outside. But that wasn't a custom. That wasn't tradition. But he decided to begin to preach the gospel out on the hilltop. He said that as he was preaching on the hill, it reminded him of Sermon on the Mount when Jesus preached and people came. 3,000 people came to hear John Wesley preach the gospel. It was the poor and the people who were broken and the misfits and the addicts who weren't allowed inside the church building. God said, I will kick John Wesley out and break the custom because these people need to hear the gospel of Christ. And revival started through that. I'm telling you, when we break customs. So I guess my encouragement for you today is this. My encouragement for you today, what is your tradition? What is your tradition? Maybe Easter Sunday is a tradition to you. But when you break tradition, don't miss your liberation today because you came here out of tradition. I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful you're here. I'm glad that you came out with your family. We're glad you're here, sir, ma'am, friend. Thank you for coming. But I'm telling you, I don't want you just to experience tradition. I want this time to be different. I want that hole that's in your soul to be filled. I want that addiction that's taking you out to be taken care of. I want that depression hanging over your life to be eradicated. And in order for that to happen, maybe, just maybe you need to break tradition. Meaning, maybe you never come the week after Easter, and maybe next week you should join us. Because when you break tradition, you may just find liberation. We'd love to have you. It's not about tradition. We're not here for tradition. Romans 5:17 says this, for the sin of this one man, Adam, that's Adam and Eve, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. In this story, we see Adam and Eve who first sinned. It said, because they sinned, we all now have sinned. Because of our ancestors, we all sin. It now has entered the earth, meaning we have a tradition. It was passed on through generation, through generation, through generation, through generation. The tradition of man was sin. It is our custom. It is what we're about. That's all we are. We are flawed human beings. But thank God for Good Friday, because when Jesus came on the cross, he broke that tradition so we could find liberation. And that was what Good Friday is about. He became the penalty for our sake. He says, you don't need to go to the cross. I'll go for you. I'll pay this thing. I'm the perfect sacrifice. And he broke the tradition of sin. But we're celebrating Easter because not only did he break the tradition of sin, but he broke the tradition of death. Last time I checked, that when someone dies, they stay dead. But Jesus said, not this guy. I'm getting back out of my grave so you can walk out of your grave too. He broke sin. He broke death. It's no longer a tradition. See, sin and death was the tradition of mankind, but Jesus said, I have to break this thing on the cross. So why? So people can find liberation. I have to break this thing on the grave. Why? So people can live for eternity with me. Yeah, death still happens. We're going to talk about that. But spiritual death, when we're in Christ, doesn't. And we live eternity for him. People always say when someone dies, why didn't God do something? He did. He sent Jesus. So when death may come early or late, we can spend eternity with him. Don't miss out on the spiritual because of the physical. He did do something. You don't have to live separated from him. 1 Corinthians 15, when then our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is a sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for the cross. But if it wasn't for him rising 3 days later, we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit to be transformed back into his glorious image. Guys, the resurrection is the pinnacle of our faith. Don't allow this to become a tradition, because God wants to liberate you this morning. He wants to free you. What were you expecting? To come in and hear this person sit down and say, "Oh, thanks for coming." Or a person who's going to spit everywhere saying this, "If you would believe in Christ, just believe in Jesus. I'm telling you, if he changed my life, if he changed Roger Rubrick's life, if he got his brother baptized and saved, he can do it and you too." This isn't tradition. This isn't a tradition. This is a celebration. And God wants to break those habits in your life. So don't let this become a tradition. Today, what were you expecting? It's time for your liberation. Number two, don't let your weakness prevent you from God's strength. Don't let your weakness prevent you from God's strength. I've noticed in my life that the more I walk with God, I honestly feel, now by the Holy Spirit, I'm strong, but the more I walk with God, I realize how weak my natural self is. Have you ever had those moments, and maybe you haven't, but there's been times where it's like you're kind of getting your stuff ready and you're going to the gym and you catch yourself in the mirror flash, like, "Oh man, this is actually working. I'm looking pretty good. This is awesome." And you show up at the gym and there's like four guys who are lifting the weight that you do like at max out, and they're doing it just as a warm up. I mean, the other day, me and Ryan were working out, and I just, like, put up, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to brag, but I put up some weight, and I was so proud about it. I got, like, three times. I was like, "Yeah," I was, like, hurting my back. I need to go get a massage after this, a deep tissue, and I was pushing it, and I got it. And he goes, "Good job, man." He goes, "Hey, check out this video. There's this guy named blah, blah. The weight you just did, he did it 50 times in 1 minute." Like, thanks for ruining everything I just did. But he's a big dude. I don't know if you realize, but sometimes seeing other people's strength reminds you of your weakness. And it's okay, because honestly, when we look at God's strength, we need to be reminded that when the Holy Spirit rose Christ from the dead, when we see God's strength, that's the same strength he put in us. And so in this moment, it says this, as they were going to the tomb, verse 3, it says, "On the way, they were asking each other, 'Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?' But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside." First off, it's like one of those moments where it's like, girls, you knew you were going to the tomb the next day, and you're just now thinking about this. Like, we're heading to the tomb. "Oh, dang it. I forgot my keys," right? Right? That's what it was like. You weren't ready for this, because here's the truth. They're like, "Who is going to roll this thing away?" I'll tell you why. This stone was 2 tons or bigger. So three women couldn't have done it. It was going to take a lot of men. But not just that, it had a government seal on it that said, "Do not open this tomb." The reason is because people went to Pilate and said, "Hey, Jesus said that he was going to rise from the grave 3 days later. Some of his crazy followers are going to try getting him out to prove to everybody that he's still alive." So they sealed it and said, "Do not open this tomb." And then they put soldiers on the front. So it wasn't just, "Oh, we could have moved it." No, there were soldiers, a seal, and a stone. This thing could not be moved with any of us. And they're rolling up to it, no pun intended, and as they walk up to it, they said, "Who will roll this thing away?" Is there something in your life right now that you're facing that you're asking the same question? Who will move this thing? Who will roll this thing away? Who will roll this thing in my life away? And they get there, and it's already been rolled away. Isn't that the best feeling, when you have to know that you have to work hard at something, and when you get there, it's already been done? Come on, somebody. Someone already did the job for you. I came home last summer. I was so tired. I was working in the office, and I was just working on the message and had a lot of meetings. And I remember just being so exhausted mentally, and I was like, "You know what? I have to mow the yard. It's getting crazy. I know my neighbors are judging me, and so I need to get home and mow the yard." And they're probably not. But as I went to mow the yard, I pulled in, and I looked, and it was already mowed. My wife was like, "Hey, I knew you had a busy day, so I just went out there and took care of the yard for you." And I was like, "I choose you." Find a wife who will mow the yard. And I remember coming home, and I just remember that lift off, like, I don't have to take care of this. There's something in your life right now. Maybe, first off, if you don't know Christ, it's sin. Because it says in Romans 3:23, "For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." That's the first stone. You see, the stone was a representation of our sin. They couldn't roll it away. We can't roll it away. Nothing we can do, guys, that we sin. Now that we've sinned, we're separated from God. There's nothing we can do as human beings to get on God's good side. We can't roll the stone away, but he can. And he did. And so I want to encourage you today and let you know that just because the stone looks big, it says, who will roll this thing away? What are you looking at today because I'm here to tell you that when you realize that Jesus has already rolled it away, you can live in freedom. Who will roll this thing? Nothing we can do can do it. We can't roll the stone away. My addiction, my habits, my sinful behaviors, we can't do it. It reminds me of Paul, who wrote half the New Testament. He was actually a Pharisee that had customs too, but Jesus got a hold of him and changed his life around, and he was used to kill Christians, and now he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Romans 7, he's actually talking about how he keeps doing the things he doesn't want to do, and the things he wants to do, he doesn't do. Anybody else? Like, it's like, I don't want to do that, and I do it, and the things I do want to do, I don't do it. And he's having this conflict in his heart, and he's like, why am I doing this? And this is what he says after that. He says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life? You see that? Who will roll this stone away? Who will roll this sin away? Who will roll this addiction away? Who will roll this depression, roll this fear, roll this? Who will roll this away? And he says this, and free me from the life dominated by sin and death. But thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Who will roll this thing away? We all have a barrier in our life that needs to be rolled away, and we keep trying to do it in our own strength. But God says, not by power nor by might, but by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit rose Christ from the dead, and he's going to raise you from the dead too. You can't do it in your own strength. Some of you are saying, Sean, I'm a good person. I do good things. I'm blessed. I've given to the church sometimes before. I've given to other people. My parents had a good faith. I have a good faith. No. That's tradition. This is what I want you to understand. Until we have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, that stone is still in front. But Jesus isn't the one in the tomb. We are. And he says, I will move this out. So you're no longer in darkness and sin and shame, but you can spend eternity with me. We can't roll away by our good works. We can't roll away by everything we do and our deeds. We can't roll away by being a good person and tipping our waitress more than anybody else. It doesn't matter how many good things we do. That's great, but that's not going to get us saved. If that got us saved, we wouldn't need the works of Jesus Christ. But because Jesus said it's not by your works, but Jesus Christ on the works, he was sinless and pure, and he still died even though he didn't deserve it. And we were on the ground, and we looked up and said, that was my cross, and he took it instead. And not just that, he rolled away the tomb. Maybe you came here today saying, who will roll the stone away? And I came to declare to you, he already rolled it. Will you receive it? Will you say, he ruled it away, and I want a life with Christ? You maybe came in wondering who's going to do it. Jesus already did it. You just need to receive it. It reminded me of, I found out whose bathroom it was, by the way. It was my brother-in-law and my sister's house. So last night I was talking, and have you ever been locked in the bathroom before? Anybody? Did you get that fixed, by the way, guys? No, not yet? Good. That's exciting, though. I remember a while back I was at their house, and I went into the bathroom. And can I be honest? Like, the bathroom is the worst place to get locked into. First off, it's like people are going to be like, how long have they been in there? And if you were in there for that reason, you don't want anyone to rescue you. It's like, hey, thanks for the, oh, my gosh, right? Right? Oh, great. Easter Sunday, we're telling poop jokes. All right, cool. But I remember I got locked in there, and I couldn't get it, and I was figuring it out. And I'm like, what is going on? What is going on? I can't open this up. And finally, I was just like, help! I think it was Caleb or Alyssa. They're like, oh, yeah. They opened. They said, sorry, the door sometimes only opens from the outside. I'm like, that's efficient. You could have told me, Jim last night said, next time I'm going there, I'm just going to leave the door open. I was like, no, don't do that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is some of you are locked and you've been trying to get out, and the only thing you need to do is this, help. And as soon as the Lord hears your cry, he says, I'm already on there. I can open it from the other side. Will you just cry out, I need you. I need freedom. I'm stuck in my sin and shame. Help. Help. I know it's embarrassing. I know it may be tough, but if you can say, help, Lord, I can't live this life again. I can't roll these things out of the way. He says, I got it. This opens from the other side. This opens from the other side. Today you're here, and maybe you've never made that decision, but today you'll get that decision that says, you know what? Sin is separating me from God in eternity with him. He has rolled it away. I need to receive this today. Do not let your weakness get in the way of God's strength. And number three, don't be frightened where God wants you to be excited. Don't be frightened where God wants you to be excited. Now, don't get me wrong. I think when we all see God, and people always say, when I see God, I'm going to be like asking him these questions. I'm like, when I see God, I'm going to fall flat in my face saying I'm not worthy. Could you imagine what it's going to be like to see God? I'm going to be like, whoo, can't handle this right now. Give me a fan. I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Like, there's no, hey God, by the way, I was going to ask you about, no, you're not. No, you're not. It's amazing. It says that we will be in awe. It says we should fear God, not like scared, but in awe, in reverence for everything he has done. He created the cosmos, and you're going to just walk up to him like, what's up, dude? By the way, I've been asking, what's up with Pluto? Is that a planet or not? Like, you're not going to do that. Maybe after you. But they came to the, stop laughing at me. It says this, it says the women fled from the tomb after this witness with the angel. They got there, they were expecting a dead body. Because they were expecting a dead body, they weren't prepared for it. And it says as they got there, the angel was there and they were shocked. Have you noticed that you can tell a lot about what people are expecting by the reaction? Right, like there was one time someone told me that someone was pregnant. By the way, we have like 1,200 people in here who are pregnant. We're growing organically. And I remember having to feel all this, and I remember someone told me, and I was like, I didn't know. They're like, oh, well, act excited when they tell you. Like, their reaction revealed that they were not prepared for that. They were shocked. They were frightened when they should have been excited. They should have came with like poppers and sparklers, and they should have been there cheering with balloons and stuff. They should have showed up with burial spices. Like, they should have been like, yep, told you. And like walked off, like this is what he said he would do. But where they should have been excited, they were frightened. It said they fled and were bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened. They said, go tell the disciples. They said, we're too scared, and they were frightened to tell them. And it reminded me of my daughter Charlie. We have yet to leave a reveal party or some type of celebration with her not crying, and we always forget to say, hey Charlie, there's going to be some cheering, so be prepared. She's never expecting it. So when everyone, they're like, it's a boy, and everyone's like, whoa, yeah, everyone's excited. Just imagine slow-mo of Charlie in the little corner going. And I'm like, oh, we forgot to tell her. And where Charlie should be cheering, she was actually crying. And how many believers live this life frightened and crying when we should be cheering and excited what God has done for us? Paul said himself. He said to people being persecuted, I know you're going through trouble right now, but he says these are light and momentary compared to eternity. Do you know what he was saying? He says, if you want to neutralize your pain, think about heaven. Think about where you're going. I know it hurts right now, but if you are in Christ, I'm telling you, what you're going into is far greater than where you're at. We should not have to live our life frightened. We should not have to live our life crying. Yes, there's moments of pain. Yes, we can cry. God hears that. But I'm saying we shouldn't live every single life frightened by everything that comes our way. Why? Because where we're going is so much greater than where we are. We have a home that we're going to. Jesus is waiting for us so we can live our life excited, not frightened. In this story, he says, do not do that. And I was thinking about that. Maybe today you're coming here today, and because of what they're expecting, they weren't expecting that. And because of that, they were shocked and they were frightened. And I don't know where you are today, but Jesus kind of mentioned something to the disciples before all this happened, before he went to the cross, before all that even happened. He was getting ready to prepare to go to the cross and rise again. And he looked at his disciples who he spent so much time with. You got to picture this, guys. He spent 3 years with these disciples, all 12 of them. Every day they would spend time with him. They would listen to him. They would lounge with him. They would eat with him. They would witness healings with him. They would heal too. They would see him break bread. They would see demon-possessed people run right at them. And he'd be like, who? And cast out demons. They witnessed this. This was their best friend. And Jesus says, you have been with me. And now he's getting ready to leave. Could you imagine a friend that close who's now saying, I'm leaving? And this is what it says. He says this to his disciples. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? Listen to what he says there. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm preparing. I'm expecting you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Let's take this slide off real fast. Listen up. Jesus is getting ready to leave. He's actually getting ready to die and rise again and ascend to heaven. And he tells his disciples, he says, don't be troubled. I'm leaving. He says, I'm going to a place. And he goes on to say the words. He goes, and you know the way where I am going. I love the Bible so much because the disciples respond. And it's so funny and it's so humorous. Jesus is like, I'm going away. Sentimental. Such a deep moment. And Thomas pipes up in verse 5. He says, no, we don't, Lord. We have no idea where you are going. So how can we know the way? He was like, Thomas! Like, right? Like, it's like, he didn't know what he's talking about. Thomas had this moment where he was like, God, Jesus is like, I'm leaving, but you know where I'm going. And Thomas is like, did I miss the email? Does anybody else know where he's going? I don't know where you're going, but tell us where we're going because I want to go with you. He's like, I want to go with you. But then he responds by this. He says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Are you looking for the way today? Are you looking for the truth that will set you free? Are you looking for the life? You see, this is more than just getting out of jail free. This is living a life of purpose. When you live in Christ, it's a life of purpose. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you're here today and you're wondering, you're looking for life, you're looking for the way, maybe it's been jacked up, you don't know where you're going, here's the most important thing. The only way to get to God is through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross and what he did in the grave. He says, I'm leaving. And if you want to spend eternity with me, you have to come through me. I am the gate. You want to go where I'm going? You want to spend eternity with me? We had some good times here. First off, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, which is just like me. I'm going to put it in you, and you're going to do greater things than me. That's why we should see a church who still believes in healing and miracles. We should be doing greater things than Jesus did on the earth because the Holy Spirit lives in us. But he says, but if you want to be with me in the flesh again one day, you have to come through me. You have to believe. Give me your sin. Give me your shame. It said that he prepared a place, which means Jesus is expecting us. He said, I'm preparing a place for you. Why? Because my preparation reveals my expectation. God's expecting me. He's preparing a place for me. I can't wait to see what it looks like. I know he knows exactly what I like. But he's preparing it because he's expecting me. I thought about Easter week, and I forgot to tell our staff before Easter week. I said, guys, I forgot to tell you that the week before Easter, just watch out. Because a lot of people are going to come through. We're going to preach the gospel. But the enemy, Satan, hates that. So he's going to do whatever he can to get on your back, to get you riled up. Your spouse, you guys are going to fight. He's going to do whatever he can to cause division. You see, after 5 years of doing this, I realized this is the time he attacks. And Sunday, last Sunday, he started. And Monday and Tuesday, every day, there was something that he was trying to bring in that was trying to disrupt us. But Monday, God said, your enemy in Scripture, he will prowl around, roaring like a lion, looking for someone to devour. But he says, stand firm. And because we were prepared, because we were expecting the enemy to attack, we were prepared for him and we stood firm. And this week didn't overtake us, but we kicked the enemy in the mouth and we trampled over him. Why? Because we were expecting him, but we stood firm. Here's my question. Death happens. We are expected to die naturally, and we are expected to meet Jesus. And in that moment, he will say, you knew me or you didn't know me. Why would a good God send someone to hell? He doesn't. He doesn't want to. That's why he sent Jesus. Don't look at that and not see the blood of Jesus that was sacrificed. He says, that's why I sent my son. Will you receive him? Because as soon as you receive him, it says your past, your sin, your shame, it's gone. And you are now in the palm of his hand and nothing can grasp you out. If we are all expecting to die someday, if we are all expecting to meet Christ one day, shouldn't we be prepared? My question is for you. Don't be like Mary and Salome. Don't live frightened in this life. I want you to be excited because in this moment today, you made a decision and now you've prepared. And in this moment for eternity, your past is gone. God sees his son and the sacrifice, and now you can spend eternity with him. And we believe it and we see it. With eyes closed, if you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Christ, if your sin and your shame is still in the way If that stone, you're looking at it and you can't shake it, it says in Scripture that all you have to do is receive the gift of Jesus Christ, meaning you have to put your faith in Christ by believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth. That's it. That's all. And it says in that moment, a beautiful exchange happens. Your sin for His grace. And you are now destined for heaven. You don't have to live frightened anymore. You can live excited because you are now a child of God and He is preparing a place for you, and now He's expecting you. So what we're going to do as a church, we're all going to pray a prayer together. But if you need to make this prayer for you, if this is the first time, if this is the moment you said, I am now choosing Christ, not my good works, I'm choosing Christ. I need to be free. You're going to pray this in your heart and you're going to mean it with everything you have. And April 1st, 2018 is going to be a day that you remember forever. So everyone in here, pray after me. But if you are doing it for the first time, mean it in your heart with everything you have. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on my cross. I deserve that. I'm thankful. Forgive me for my sin, my past, and my mistakes. Will you roll the stone away? I choose you today. I want to live a life with you today. I want to trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen. In that moment right there, it says that you have now become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Everything you've done up to this moment, literally, He doesn't even remember. If I would go and ask Jesus, do you know that person? What'd they do back there? He goes, I don't know. He forgot about it because he sees the perfect blood of Jesus Christ. And it says in that moment that all of heaven is celebrating. Jesus is partying. If Jesus is going to throw a party, you better believe we want to throw a party. If Jesus likes to party, we like to party. And they're partying because someone prayed that prayer today, but we want to celebrate with you. So on the count of three, we're going to ask you something very bold. You're just going to lift up your hand. Why? Because this is the moment you're going public and said, I prayed that prayer. I'm new in Christ. And this is what's going to happen. The church is going to be excited. We're for you. We're going to celebrate with you because we were once in that mess and God has completely changed our life. So don't worry about the people next to you. They're not the ones that you have to go and take account for your sins. But in this moment, if you prayed that prayer, you're new in Christ. So we want you to throw your hand up and we're going to get you a bag, a gift. We already have a hand in the back. Can you give her that right now? When we count to three... When we count to three, yeah, keep that hand up. I haven't got the count to three yet. One, Jesus loves you. Two, He died and rose again. Three, if you prayed that prayer and you said, I don't need to make a decision today. Yeah, leave that hand wide up. God bless you, ma'am. Right up here. God bless you. Leave those hands up. Come on. Leave those hands up. God bless you. God bless. Come on, church. God bless you. God bless you. We got there in the back. Praise God for you, ma'am. Thank you for coming. Praise God. God bless you so much. Church, let's stand up on our feet. Let's celebrate people, new life in Christ. Come on, let's give it everything we have.